Welcome to Wellness Spring. I am super excited. In this Riverton episode, I chat with Wayne Jones, owner of the iconic Turf Hotel in Wrexham, the heart of the Welcome to Wrexham series, and Dieter Steinbusch, who's turning York Lane into Sydney's Wrexham's Aussie fan headquarters. We explore how two passionate publicans are riding the Hollywood wave as Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney bring Wrexham Football Club to Australia and New Zealand for the very first time. From turf pop-up bars pre the game and humble heroes to football uniting communities across the globe, this story has the heart, humour and history in the making. And if you're in Sydney for the match, York Lane is the place to be. You never know who might show up. So tune in now. Welcome to Wellness Spring, Wayne. It's so lovely to have you on the show at last.
Thank you.
I was blessed to meet Dieter earlier. We're here now at the York Lane. And I was telling him how I met you in Wrexham. My partner and I came in and you were just about to leave to go and pick up your two beautiful daughters. And we were like, can you wait 1 minute? Can I do a podcast with you? Can I take a picture? So we had a quick chat and then we've been emailing back and forth and finally got you on the show. So tell us about the buzz in Wrexham at the moment. It must be going crazy with the back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, listen, we're in pre-season now, obviously, which is why we're heading over to Australia shortly. So people have had a little time to get over their latest hangovers and their latest celebrations and whatnot, which went on for several days, as you can imagine. So, yeah, listen, I don't think anybody really sort of can get their head around the fact that we've had back-to-back-to-back promotions, which, as you're probably well aware, has never been achieved before in the sport, so a professional level anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy 4 years, 5 years now maybe. I forget how long these guys have been in charge. But, listen, it's one of them things, I guess, that because we're still so busy in the town and here at the turf that we're sort of in the eye of the storm of it. It's probably one of them things where I'll look back maybe in 10 years' time, hopefully when I'm sitting with my feet up on a beach somewhere and think, well, that was a crazy 4 or 5 years, but thoroughly enjoyable. You know, I never in a million years thought that I would see, you know, our beloved Wrexham Football Club playing at a level of football, which is just out of this world. So, and hopefully going to be competitive at that level. So, yeah, the buzz is still there. And you don't, you know, it's a 3 month pre-season window, which sounds a lot of time, but by the time you get over the euphoria of the latest promotion and you have a quick holiday for a week or two, then you're getting prepared for who's coming in, new players, or you know, where the tour's going to be, etc. And then before you know it, August is here and we do it all again.
And how has your life changed since the Welcome to Wrexham series?
Well, I get asked that quite regularly.
As a bar owner.
Well, you can see the bags under my eyes. I'm a lot more tired these days. Dieter can probably explain the understanding of that one. But I get asked that question all the time. And I've always answered it with the same answer of that my life hasn't really changed. And do you know what? I think I've been lying to myself. I think life has changed. I mean, you know, if you'd have said to me sort of 6-7 years ago that there's going to be a pandemic that's going to shut down the world and that you'd be friends with Ryan Reynolds and your football club would be in the championship, I'd have probably thought you were a little bit crazy. So obviously life's changed. We certainly weren't getting, you know, 70, 80 tourists a day, every day, 5 years ago. You know, we weren't getting A-list of celebrities and we weren't playing at a standard of football that we're currently going to be playing at. I think what I meant to say to people when I've been asked that question is, I haven't changed. You know, I'm still working as hard as ever. You know, I like to think I've always been grounded. I'll always be grounded. You know, I'll always have time for people, do our charity work. You know, I'll always be the same Wayne effectively. So I think obviously life has changed is the answer, but I certainly haven't. But yeah, I mean, it's a case of that eye of the storm thing that I don't really have 5 minutes to sort of stop and take it all in. And then I, you know, hopefully, I mean, I appreciate it. And I'm very grateful for it, you know, the custom and the fact that we get to meet interesting people like yourselves and dozens of tourists from every country you can think of all around the world on a daily basis. It's super exciting. I'd be lying if I said that it wasn't occasionally a little bit overbearing, especially on game days when you've got a couple of hundred tourists that all want 5 or 10 minutes of your time, which is the least I should be able to do. But when you do that 200 times, you get nothing done. So yeah, life has changed, but I think the overriding feeling is that it's a positive change, a very exciting change, and one we've embraced and one we keep embracing.
Yeah.
Well, I was chatting to Dieter earlier, you know, because it's gone viral over here, the Welcome to Wrexham, and now he started up this lovely themed bar. Everybody is coming, and I thought maybe you could give him some tips because everybody wants to
Yes.
turn up.
Oh, crikey. I'm sure Dieter's probably forgotten more about business, so knows more about business than I'll ever know. But
Yeah.
I'm really excited to go and have a couple of nights at Dieter's bar. And I hear really good things. So yeah, I mean, listen, he doesn't need me to tell him how to run his business. I'm sure he's doing very, very
Yeah,
well.
could always listen, mate.
My only advice would be stay true to yourself, you know, stay.
Yeah.
A lot of people in, well, not a lot of people, but a few people, I guess, in hospitality, which is what we're in the hospitality industry, tend to forget that they're in the hospitality industry and they're not really cut out for the work. You have to realize that it's, I mean, I don't know the setup of Dieter's hours and opening hours and all the rest of it, but we're 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we never really get to switch off. So, but my advice to Dieter, which he probably doesn't need, would just be never forget that you're in hospitality because some people do and some people can be a little bit rude with it. You know, every customer is exactly that, a customer, you know,
Yeah.
deserves to be treated with respect. And you know, you always get the odd jerk, you always get the odd idiot, but very occasionally here, thankfully, I'm sure. Same with Dieter. So, yeah, just be true to yourself. Just remember you're in
Yes.
hospitality. Remember that the paying customer is always right, even when they're not.
Yeah.
And the minute you stop enjoying it, get out. At the moment, I still enjoy it. I've been here 17 years last month. I still enjoy it. I know I only look 25,
Wow.
but that's all a facade.
Yeah.
But yeah, so long as you enjoy it, just embrace it. It's a way of life. Dieter will tell you it's a way of life running a bar. You know, it's there's so much more to it than people realize. They think you just get up, pour some beers, go to bed, count your money, and do it all again the next day. There's so much more to it than that. But as long as you enjoy it, Dieter, which I'm sure you do, I mean, I'm super, super excited to come over, meet you, have several beers,
Yeah.
and hopefully drag as many Wrexham fans with me as I can.
That'd be great.
And so many of the fans are asking, you know, oh, so Wayne's coming, you know, is he having a pop-up bar here?
Yeah, absolutely. So Maximum Effort, which is Ryan's, I don't know how much knowledge you've got on Ryan and Rob's sort of production company. So Maximum Effort is Ryan's production company. And then a company called More Better is Rob's production company. So they obviously all work together. They help the club on a daily basis with videos and promotions and marketing. You name it, they do it. They're wonderful people, based in America. So the last two tours in the US, which we were fortunate enough to be invited to, it's a wonderful experience. They have a huge, what is effectively a tent, but a posh tent, I call it, a massive, huge tent that they kit out in the same colors as the turf, and then they set the bar up exactly like our bar is in the backdrop. And then they have me standing there smiling and waving at people pouring gin and tonics and whatnot, which again will never really make sense to me, but it's such an experience that you can't really turn it down. So,
Yeah.
and then this time, yes, absolutely. They're going to be doing the same thing at Melbourne, Sydney, and Wellington. They're going to be doing a huge pop-up turf where Wrexham Lager for the first time is going to be poured at one of these events. So, excited for that,
No,
really
sorry,
excited.
buddy. The second time. We're pouring
Oh,
it the third.
sorry,
Are
yes, apologies.
you having it on
Sorry.
draft?
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing draft?
Pardon?
Draft? Are you pulling pints or draft or just bottles?
Yeah, no, it's going to be draft, I believe.
Okay.
To my knowledge, it's going to be draft.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain it's going to be draft. So,
Yeah.
so there's definitely going to be a pop-up bar at all three venues. And yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, it's good. You get to meet so many people, different people. So anybody that is on the fence about buying pit tickets, get them bought because I think they're going to sell out. It's going to be if it's anything to go by the last two US tours, then the Australian one's going to be equally as good. And they're just really,
Exactly.
really fun days. Yeah, they're really good days. And obviously, you get to watch Wrexham and play on Australian soil, which I'm really excited for.
Yeah, so when you say buy the tickets, people have got tickets to go to the football game. So how do they get to these events with the pop-up bars?
Yeah, again, it's sort of out of, I just get brought along. So more better, a maximum effort to the guys to set it all up. But what's happened in the last two, Beverly, is it's basically just been a first come first serve. So in America, if the game was sort of 5 p.m., they would usually open the turf about 2 to 3 hours beforehand, and they have all sorts of quirky things. I don't know what the setup in Australia is going to be because obviously it's winter, but I imagine it's going to be something similar where they have like football events for the kids, and they have like the pop-up bar, and they have merchandise stalls, and they have music going on, and it's basically just like it's a bit of what Americans call it tailgating. They have like a big tailgating party.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure what the Aussies do, but yeah, it's basically just a bar where if you turn up early enough, you'll get in. There might be a line, but they're usually over a huge, vast space of like a car park or a field or whatever's within the vicinity of the said stadium. So yeah, I don't think it's a ticketed event. I'm fairly certain I'm right in saying that. Otherwise, by now you would have been told that
Yeah,
information
you would know.
by the
Yeah.
tour operators. So it's just a case of, for example, I think the Melbourne game, I think I'm right in saying that the Melbourne and Sydney games are evening kickoffs. Is that correct? I think that's right, isn't it? I think it's
Yeah. Yep.
7 p.m. or
Yeah.
something like that. So I would imagine the information will be out soon enough that the gates will be open 3:30, 4, something like that onwards. So yeah, just if you've got your tickets, come on down. Everybody will get in. People leave, people join the queue, it whatnot. Once people have sort of seen what's going on, they then head into the stadium to see the main stars, which is the players, warm it up and things like that. So yeah, just as soon as you finish work, come on down, I guess.
Wonderful. And how do you feel, with the players like Super Paul Mullins and all the ones from the beginning who are now retiring? And because they're like family, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not to sort of correct you, but Super Paul Mullin certainly is not retiring, or Palmer, to my knowledge. I mean, Mullin is only 30, which is in many cases in the prime of your career, really. The sad thing for
Yeah.
Paul is, who is an absolute icon in these parts, and Ollie Palmer to a certain extent, but particularly Paul Mullin is. I mean, he's adored in North Wales. He's adored, around the world now, if you're a follower of Wrexham Football Club. The sad thing for Paul is he took the injury to his ribs in America 2 years ago, and then subsequently came back, had a good season, but then needed surgery. All this information, I guess, had needed surgery in the
Yeah.
summer on a long-standing back injury, and has not quite got back to the levels, whether that's fitness or whether that's confidence or a combination of both, or he just couldn't work his way back into Phil's planning and thought process. And you can never really knock the manager because we've had back-to-back-to-back promotions and the buck stops with the manager.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of call locally during the season, particularly when results weren't going our way, for Paul to be reinstated into the team. And I understand it because he's such a wonderful footballer and an even better human being. But the buck stops with the manager. He's paid the big bucks to make these decisions, and thankfully we've been successful. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Paul Mullin, Ollie Palmer, several of the other players like Will Boyle, and there's several players that may move on, which will be horribly sad. It's always sad every year, even for bit part players that don't really, are not as prominent as say a Paul Mullin. It's always very sad to see these players leave, but these guys are not silly. That's the game they're in. That's football, as we say over here. That's the
Yeah.
sport. You take the highs and you take the lows. If you ask me outright, do I think Paul Mullin is good enough to be in the Wrexham 23-man squad next season? Absolutely, as a footballer. Do I think he will be? I really don't know. It's 50-50. We're at a level of football again now where, you really need power and pace, and Paul's got that. But he's struggling with confidence. I would love to see Phil Parkinson give him a full pre-season in Australia and give him a chance to kick a football in the championship, because he's undoubtedly got the quality. He's a brilliant, brilliant footballer. he's just struggling. But it's always difficult, Beverly, to see players leave and players go. And we're always very grateful for them. I hope Paul Mullen in particular stays, because I think he's got what it takes to play at that level. But, you know, this is you live and die by the decisions, don't you, as a manager? And you know, regardless of what he does, he's going to get some good press and some bad press for Parkinson. So, like I say, I'm waffling on now, but I hope that they give. I don't know if you've seen the latest episode of the documentary, but he touches on it, right? He says where it would be, the icing on the cake for Paul would be to kick a football in the Championship, because it'd be the highest level of football that not just Wrexham have played, but Paul Mullen's ever played. And, you know, these guys at 30, he's still got 5, 6, 7 good years in him. He wants to test himself at the highest level. So I hope and pray, and the conversations on a daily basis around the turf and the town are, will he be given a chance? We certainly all hope so.
Yeah, that's the only reason I mentioned, I said like Paul Mullins, but not meaning, because we watched the latest series last night, and it was talking about the players and how it's inevitable, you know, that the standards of play are changing as you go up the grades, and, you know, different players are coming through. And yeah, what I've loved about the series is learning about the behind the scenes with all the players and some of the volunteers, and learning so much. You know, it's not just about football, and obviously I'm Welsh as well, but, you know, this series has really put Wales on the map.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. It isn't just about, you know, 23, 28 players and the coaching staff and the directors and stuff. It's literally about the entire town. I mean, quite honestly, one doesn't work without the other. You know, the football team certainly doesn't work without the supporters, and the supporters would be lost without the football club. It's a one town team. You know, we live in a beautiful part of the world where 5 miles away you can hike the mountains, or you can go kayaking and rafting, and then you're only 30 minutes away from Liverpool. But the beating heart of Wrexham town centre, and Wrexham as a, it's a city, but it'll always be a town. You know, it is the football club. You know, people adore it. It's the only one thing where you will get 13,000 people on a fortnightly basis together as one, and everybody. I think Humphrey Kerr articulately, you know, put it across more articulately than I ever could. But Humphrey Kerr sort of said that when you go through them turnstiles, or Rob, I think it was, sorry, said when you go through them turnstiles, you forget everything, all your political beliefs, everything. You know, you just, whatever it may be, whatever's going on in your life, you're just one big massive family, and you know you've got each other's backs. And I think Phil has built a ethos at the club where that works. You know, if everybody's pulling in the same direction, then it works, and it certainly worked over the last 4 years. But yeah, I mean, it's not just about the players. It's about, I mean, the volunteers at Wrexham. I mean, you've got a lot of people that are paid, but you've got a lot of volunteers that turn up and do things. Even with the Hollywood money and the Hollywood superstars and all the glitz and glamour that go with it, you still need to stay humble, and you still need people that want to get out of bed in the morning and just go and help, because they want to help see Wrexham Football Club and the town prosper. So, yeah, I mean, I adore the place. Without going on too much, I mean, I live here, and I'm a little bit biased, I guess, but I love the fact that even with all the cameras, even with all the Hollywood stuff and the daily nonsense that we get, have to put up within the media, because the minute you put Wrexham's name into something now, it generates clicks, it generates likes, it generates a lot of dislikes. But that's really where we are. Yeah. That's where we are, because you put Wrexham or Ryan's name, and I read the stories, and 99.9% of them are absolute nonsense. But I love the fact that the people of Wrexham have stayed true to themselves. They've never changed. We might not have a lot, but what we have got will certainly give to the next human being. So I love the fact that it stayed humble, it stayed true to itself, the people have stayed the same. And who knows, if one day that we do touch or get to the Holy Grail of the Premier League, things might change around the football club, i.e. the superstars might turn up in yellow Lamborghinis as opposed to 4 feet. But the people, the backbone of the community and the backbone of the club, will always stay true to themselves and always stay the same.
Like that.
Yeah, but we are Welsh at the end of the day, you know, so proud people, and we've got that hoyle, and, you know, I was talking to a Welsh friend, Mike Roberts, earlier, and he said, you can take Wales the girl out of Wales, but never Wales out of the girl or boy. And yeah, he was the one who introduced Dieter to Wrexham and got everything going. And yeah, so the million-dollar question is, are Rob and Ryan coming up to Australia?
In all honesty, I honestly, genuinely, wholeheartedly, and I would tell you if I was, I wouldn't lie to you. I honestly don't know. Obviously, both very busy guys. But I would imagine, and I'm speculating and guessing, I would imagine one, if not both, will be there at some point. I would have thought so. I mean, obviously, like I said, they're both very, very busy guys. But Rob in particular, I mean, you could put two frogs hopping across the street in a sport and he would be there because he's just a sports junkie. He just loves sports. He just, if there's any sporting event going on, he will be there. So I would like to think so. I haven't
The
spoken
Tour
to
de
him for a
France is on.
pardon?
The Tour de France will be on, so we'll be showing that.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know
And
if
the
he's on
Lions
his
is on in
cycling.
Australia. The Lions is on in Australia as well, right? So,
That's it.
yeah. But the honest answer, very short and quick answer is I don't know. I would hope so. I know they've been to the last two US tours, which is obviously a lot easier for them than it is to get to Australia. But I would certainly think that you'll see one, if not both, at some point. I've not spoken to them for a couple of weeks since the season finished, but I'm sure one or, like I said, the other will make an appearance. They've got a brand to grow, they've got a football team to support, and they've got, it's never ending for them. Even though this is the off season, this is probably, as daft as it sounds, this is probably their busiest 3 months of the year because they have to put the footwork and the groundwork in for the next season and grow the brand and say a thank you to the Australian people who have been very supportive of the show and the club. So I would like to hope that they'll both turn up, yeah.
Because I know Dieter and many of the fans would love them to come to York Lane, and
I'm
that.
already telling people, especially the ladies, that Ryan's, sorry, Rob, but Ryan's coming. Woo, see?
Well,
Even
I will.
the
I mean, obviously, I only have so much say. I just run a little bar next door. They're the real celebrities. But obviously, if I do speak to them, which I'm sure I will, and they are coming over, then I can't guarantee anything. But I'll. They both like a pint, which is promising. They both like a
That's all
beer.
right.
They both. Full-blooded men. They like a beer or two. So I'm sure if they're in Australia and I get to speak to them, I'll certainly invite them over. I'll do what I can to get them there. I'm sure
All
if they
right.
can spare an hour or two, I'm sure they will come.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Finding
I
the
mean,
time.
yeah, this is the thing, Dieter. People think, oh, they just fly in and go watch a football game.
No.
They don't. They have to wine and dine and smooze so many people that they
Oh,
pulp and at
God,
the bus. But I know
yeah.
for a fact, I know for a fact that if they're over there and they do have an hour or two, and I ask them nicely, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will show up. I'll certainly do my best for you.
Put it this way, mate. If they come, I've got a whole series for them at the bar.
Right.
We've
Okay.
still
Well.
we've got enough content. We from
Yeah.
7 a.m. in the morning, mate. Trust
Welcome,
me.
welcome to Wrexham, the Australian version.
Oh yeah. And obviously Ryan is good friends with Hugh Jackman. So
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
we
Yeah, exactly. Very, very good friends. They're really, really close mates. Everybody's seen the videos where they're constantly taking the mick out of each other and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, I was weird little story. I managed to, when I was 21, I did the 2 year backpacking scene around Australia. I absolutely loved it. Went from Sydney right up to the top end of Cairns and all the nooks and crannies in between, and then spent about 8 months in Perth and a few months in Melbourne. And I was lucky enough to take in the Boxing Day test at the MCG, although I was very, very, very hungover on cheap backpacker goon. But I remember seeing Hugh Jackman. So I was in the real, real, real cheap seats at the top. But Hugh Jackman was doing an event and he was doing something on the pitch at MCG. And he wasn't as big as he is now. And I remember saying to somebody, he was the guy with the golf club. He was doing something with the golf club. And he said, oh, it's Hugh Jackman. He's an up-and-coming Australian actor. And I didn't know at the time. And now I look back and I think, oh, I've seen that guy 23 years ago now. That's horrific. So I would like to hope that with the Hugh Jackman connection, with it being a first tour in Australia, with it being such a big market for the club, and whatnot, I would like to think that, Ryan would, find a find time in his busy diary to pop over and come and meet and greet people and have a few beers with people and say hello. And likewise, Rob.
Yeah,
Nice.
and our Robin Ryan is funny in real life as what we see on the TV screen.
No, they're dull as
Yes.
dishwater. No, they're not really. They really are. Do you know what? It's another question I get asked quite regularly. What are they like in real life? And people will naturally expect me to say what I'm about to say, but I'm only going to say it because it's true. They're the two most down to earth, genuinely nice, humble human beings that you'll ever come across. And clearly, they've had a lot of success. Clearly, they're very wealthy. They're very successful in their careers. Very well known, obviously, particularly Ryan. Rob gets a lot of stick for being the other guy, but plays up to it really well. But yeah, they really are. I mean, I don't. So I like to think I don't sort of pansy around or pussyfoot up to them. I just let them come. I'm just, they will agree that they're no different or no better than anybody else. They're just human beings that have done very well for themselves, and they don't for one second try to think anything like it. They're just lovely people. If anything, I would say sometimes maybe they're probably a little bit too nice because when they come on game day. So Ryan came the last game of the season against Charlton. Came into our fan zone and it took him. He just wanted to come for a quick pint to say hello to me and say hello to my wife. It took him 2 hours to get in and out of 500 people because he wanted to
That's
stop and
tough.
say hello to everybody, smile for everybody, sign everything, high five all the kids and whatnot. They're just lovely, lovely people. And we've hit the jackpot with them because, again, when you think of the media, all they want to do and people on social media, all they want to do is say, let them have their 5 minutes in the sunshine. But when these two guys sell up, which they will, they're going to leave them in a mess and they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Listen, I don't know the long-term plans of Rob and Ryan. I'd like to think in my head and my heart that they're not going anywhere for a very long time. I'm sure that's true. But even when they do, they're going to leave us in a much healthier position than they found us. And that's not just the football club, that's the town and the economy of Wrexham and North Wales and Wales because they put Wales on the map. So just truly, truly, truly lovely, lovely guys. What you see is what you get. And I wish them nothing but the best because they've given the people of Wrexham, they've given them everything, literally everything.
They say that on the show.
Yeah.
That's what's great about being part of it. Here I am, all this way away, and you do, you feel part of it and listen to you, and it's just like there's a humble soul that's
Yeah,
come
exactly
through, I
right.
think.
Exactly that, Dieter. I mean, Ryan, believe it or not, I think people perceive Ryan because of the characters he plays on a lot of his movies is a funny guy, for example, like Free Guy and Deadpools and whatnot. But he's actually quite an anxious guy. I've been around him and you can feel the anxiety around him sometimes. It must be tough for them sometimes to always be put on the spot. You've always got to make sure you're saying the right thing and whatnot. In a world we live in today where you can trip yourself up very easily, but they don't, because they're genuine. And I think humble is the word. I think you're correct, Dieter. I think humble is the word. I think humble is probably one of the most prominent words around this whole experience. Not just me, the people of the town, the football club, the
Oh,
staff at the football club.
you can feel it.
Yeah,
That's why
exactly.
I love being part of it. And you
Yeah.
can't hide it. I was saying to Beverly, it's every time someone walks in from Wrexham, like even me sitting here, that smile doesn't lie. Sorry, it doesn't. It's that's the greatest thing about it. It's all that hard work, all that passion. It's if it can make you smile, that's it.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. So everybody you see on that show is exactly what they're like in real life. Rob, Ryan, me, Kerry, Sean, Michael, everybody is exactly how they are in real life. I get asked not to make it all about me, but I can only talk about my experiences. I get asked all the time that, so for example, there was a I was cleaning the toilets 3 days ago, an American lady walked into the men's toilets and said to me, "Why are you cleaning the toilets?" And I kind of looked at her. The pub wasn't even open, and I said, "Why wouldn't I be cleaning the toilets? That's my job." And she was like, "Why are you doing it?" And I said, "Because that's my job. I don't get, and that's just one example. I always think that if you get too far ahead in life, somebody will always tell you you're getting a little bit ahead of yourself. My mum certainly would have told me. And I just think if somebody warms to you or the town for who you really are, then you can never really trip yourself up. I think if you start becoming something you're not, then somebody will very quickly tell you, and I would expect to be told, hold on a second, why are you changing the way you are? So yeah, stay true to yourself, like I said a minute ago, stay humble, and just enjoy the ride. You know,
life's what I love life's about my customers.
Exactly, mate.
My life customers tell me every morning, every day.
Exactly, mate. I mean, life is difficult
couldn't
enough,
love it
isn't
any
it?
Other way.
Exactly, yeah, right, mate. Exactly right.
Yeah. Cool.
And on one of our conversations, you told me you were taking your two girls to America. Did you meet up with Rob and Ryan when you were there?
So
girls?
I've only got one daughter, sorry. I've got a son and a daughter, but I took my partner. So I beg your pardon on that one. But yeah, I took my now 16-year-old, then 15-year-old daughter, Ruby, to the US, to the West Coast, Los Angeles. About a month, it was terrible timing. When I think about it, my planning was awful, but she always wanted to go to the West Coast. So we went about 6 weeks before the second tour in Australia, in America last year. And no, I didn't. Rob reached out to go round to his house and to meet up and to have drinks and whatnot, but we declined. My daughter has no interest in football, which is perfectly fine. Very artistic, doing her own thing. Lovely, beautiful soul. Got more of her mother in there than me, but so no, my daughter Ruby, my wife is a Wrexham nut, football mad, loves it, gets involved, loves meeting the people, loves the games, but my daughter doesn't really have an interest. I've took her several things home signed by, you know, like Will Ferrell or Channing or Ryan, and she's like, great, you know, she's not really interested in it. So we went and we just wanted some family time. That I would say is the only sort of negative to this whole experience, is like my time with my family is now limited, which is, you know, a real sort of a bugbear of mine, but you know, this is work. You have to, you know, family will always come first, but you have to provide for the family, and to do that you have to work. So so we went, we had a great 2 weeks. We did Universal and Disney, and you know, we traveled right up from the bottom of San Diego to the top of San Francisco. We spent far too long in the car because we were bickering by the end of it, but yeah, just had a great 2 weeks, just family time really, Beverly. And then we went back 4 weeks later for the football, just me and the wife.
Oh, that's lovely. I've got a question now for the two of you. How do you both see the power of a local pub for building community, whether it's with you, Wayne, in Wrexham or you in Sydney?
Dieter, do you want to go first?
How do I say it? Yeah, it's something I was saying to the guys before about since the pandemic, about what a place like ours means to a lot of people. I've forgotten, because I've been here now 14 years, and you don't realise sometimes the stories that come out of your bar, what the bar means to them, what you've either said to them or what you've done for them, or just knowing that they've got a place where they can feel at home. And hopefully we portray that with how we manage our bars, you know. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think just now listening to you for, you know, as you've spoken, it's about, it's what comes out of your heart. And if you love what you do, hopefully people resonate off that and they can appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it. I mean, I couldn't say it any better. I completely agree. You know, it's like Dieter. I mean, you know, 31 years between us, we've been in our respective bars. So I, you know, what I would say is no 2 days are ever the same. It's always very different. Yeah. You know, you're so much more than a bartender. You're a counsellor. You're a social worker. Yeah. You know, you're all these things.
Psychiatrist.
Yeah, absolutely. A marriage counsellor. You're also
cheap psychiatrist too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think some people come here sometimes just because it's cheaper than anger management. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's. I mean, there are lots and lots and lots of really good bars in Wrexham. We're not the only one. We just happen to be next door to the football club. But we're very much community driven, and you have to enjoy it. You know, I enjoy it. So, you know, I get up in the morning and I don't dread going to work. I look forward to going to work even when I'm tired. I think, well, you know, it's something different. You know, I couldn't think of anything worse than doing the same job. And I get people have to work, but doing the same thing 60 hours a week, day in, day out, being mundane and repetitive, I would drive me potty, for example, working in a closed environment, office or something like that. I just couldn't think of anything worse. I'm a people person, as you probably can tell. I like to talk. Yeah. So, I mean, it means the world to people. And, you know, this is like the hub within the little area of Wrexham we are. This is the hub for people. So, yeah, I mean, we've been here for 100 and blimey, 185 years now. So that, you know, the stories that are etched into the brickwork, you know, of people's fathers that drank here and whatnot. So it's a way of life, and I don't think any of us would change it. It's you have to enjoy it, and thankfully I think we both
do. God,
And also, you know, storytelling is so inspiring, and you know, with the Wrexham story being a big inspiration as itself, do you think this is going to inspire other communities?
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, like I said, I don't want to be too downbeat about things, but the world at the moment just seems like a pretty dark place, doesn't it? You know, it just seems there's so much negativity going on with countless wars, and it's just, I mean, the world just seems like a really difficult place. You know, politics is through the roof and whatnot. So when you get a story like what's going on at Wrexham, you know, Wrexham's not unique. There is thousands of towns like Wrexham around the world that, you know, the football team or the soccer team or the rugby team or whatever sporting team it may be brings out the best in people. So, you know, without being too doom and gloom about it, I just think when you find something like what's going on at Wrexham, you need to grab it with both hands and embrace it. And I think that's possibly why it resonates so well with a lot of people around the world, because it is a feel-good factor. Is Wrexham as a town fixed? Is it all guns blazing? No, there's still things to do. Of course there is. You know, it's not all rosy. But what the show has had and what the football team has had is a huge impact. The town is doing a hell of a lot better than it's ever done. Businesses are popping up everywhere. People seem happier. People are smilier. They stop and chat. That's the power of storytelling. That's the power of football, as it may be in our case. Brings people together, the camaraderie that you get. So, the green shoots of Wrexham are there. You know, the town is really prospering, really on the up. And I'd like to think that, you know, owners of sporting teams around the world will just stop and maybe stop taking all the money out of clubs and just give a little bit back. That's the one big thing about Rob Ryan and the Allen family who have now come on board, is that they want to do it for the benefit of our town, not for the benefit of filling their own pockets, which is sadly what a lot of owners want to do. You know, they've set a template there. This is how you should own a sporting venue, a sporting team, sorry. The owners of Birmingham City that you see on the documentary, they're very similar. They're there to build up Birmingham. They're there to build up the area of Birmingham and to make the economy more prosperous. That's what Rob and Ryan are doing. You know, where we are now from 4 years ago is night and day. Who knows where we're going to be in four or five? Who knows where we're going to be in 4 or 5 years? You know, kudos to these guys, because they haven't, like I said a minute ago, they haven't just built a football team. They're literally building an economy. They put in a town, a proud, proud town, a town that had fallen upon hard times. They're putting it back on its feet, and we're booming.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And you talked about economy as well. And obviously there's talk, according to the series, about the ground being extended again. How is that going to affect everyone in the town and people wanting to see the games?
Well, so I literally, as I look out my window to my left now, I can see the temporary cop stand. That's how close we are. We're literally attached. And we've watched the guys over the last week dismantle the temporary stand. And we've watched the guys redo the new stupidly nice looking pitch that they've put down and spent millions of pounds on. The next phase now is to put shovels into the ground, spades into the ground, and start developing the cop stand, which I would imagine is going to start happening in the next couple of weeks. So the immediate effect it's going to have is it's going to cause a real headache for tickets for people, because we're back down to 10,500. And when you take away the away allocation, that's only 9,000 supporters, home supporters, in a very, very big league. So for the next season alone, it's going to cause real headaches. I mean, the temporary cop, although if it rained, which sadly it does a lot over here, it wasn't ideal, but it put bums on seats and it gave people the opportunity locally and internationally to be able to go to 10 games. So next season is going to be a real challenge for the club, because there's nothing they can physically do about extending the capacity over 10,500. But the long-term goal, and this is what they're looking at, the long-term goal is in 12, 14 months from now, that capacity will go up to 16,000. And nearly everybody that wants to go will be able to go. So it's a double-edged sword in the fact that it's a short-term pain for a long-term gain. And Yeah, I mean, we knew that this season was going to come. We knew that when they took the temporary stand down, we were going to be at limited capacity. So it's going to be a problem. People are going to be disappointed. They can't go. Again, particularly as we're in such a lucrative and, you know, exciting league. But a year from now, that will all be forgotten. And hopefully we're playing in front of 16, 17,000 sellouts, which if you'd have told me 5 years ago, I would have laughed at you. So, yeah, like I say, short-term pain for long-term gain. But it's going to be, it's all exciting. And when it's done, it's going to be really, really impressive.
Phenomenal. And will there be talks? Because right now your hotel is like a museum. And what Brian and I loved was, you know, people were coming up to us, can we take your photo, you know, with all the memorabilia behind and offering to give us a tour. Like, will the pub get extended as well to, because there's so many people going to be coming with the new extension?
Yeah, no, so the pub is owned by a company called Admiral Taverns. We have a long-term tenancy on it. So the pub is 185 years old, like I've said. It's always been, well, it was originally known as the Turf Tavern and then the Turf Hotel. And I'm just a custodian. So when I leave, when me and my wife leave, which we will, you know, I'm a firm believer that every landlord has their shelf life. And I'll know when it's time to go. And when it's time to go, I'll go with grace and say thank you. And I'll look back and think that I've done my utmost to make everybody welcome. It's not my job to start extending or, you know, dare I say, descaling a building that, you know, has so much history. You know, I'm a custodian of the place. I have to respect the building. What we will do to accommodate the extra fans is at the bottom of our car park, which you may have seen, Beverly, we have a stretch tent, which can accommodate 500 people on a game day, which we fill most times. What we are going to do in collaboration with the brewery, the owner of the building, is build a more permanent structure. And we hope to get that built and open in time for when they open the new all singing, all dancing cop stands. So that will be a more permanent structure. That will be permanent licenses, you know, where we can do events all year round. So that would then give us the opportunity to, you know, get between the turf building itself and the permanently built fan zone. That will give us the opportunity to host around 1,000 fans on a game day, which we comfortably get and we have the majority of the day. So, yeah, no long-term plans to start ripping up the building, because it's far more important than I ever will be. And when I go, I would hate to think that it was Wayne's tenure that changed it. I mean, I get about 10 emails a week asking if they can stay upstairs in the hotel, and I have to very kindly remind them that it's not a hotel, it just was called a hotel, and it's not in my nature, or it's certainly not in my power to start changing the name of the place. You know, that's history. That will remain sacred.
So
I have to kindly say, sorry, we're not a hotel. It was, you know, 100 years ago, 5 rooms were sufficient for a hotel when there was a lot less people in the world. So, yeah, no plans to change the name, no plans to extend the building, but we do have big plans to make our fans own a permanent structure, bigger than it is now, better than it is now, and one for everybody to enjoy when we're up to 16,000 people.
Wow, that's amazing. And you've got that takeaway van outside. Will you be getting more takeaway vans, perhaps, to accommodate? No, I
have no life now. So that van opens at 7 o'clock in the morning. Somebody once told me 5 years ago, you should buy a food truck. It's really good fun. I now resent that person because I have no life. So we will upgrade it. Most likely we will upgrade it, because although it's incredibly clean on the inside and we have the best hygiene rating you can get, when you look at it from the outside, it's not the best to look at. So people kind of go, oh, crikey. But then the food's good and it's cheap, and we don't get people off, and we keep it, you know, we keep it. Yeah. People always come and go, why are you so cheap? And I'm like, well, we're busy. So if you don't rip people off and we're making a living, why rip people off? So the plan is to maybe upgrade it, reposition it in the fan zone, where we can serve 6 days a week to the general public, and then we can serve internally into the fan zone. So there is scope there to you know, maybe spend a couple of thousand, well, 10 or 20 grand or whatever it might be, and spruce it up and serve both on game days, and then open it in the week and get rid of the old truck. But no, there's no plans to be opening kitchens or franchising the Turf Buddy van all around America and all that. People say you should do some right crazy stuff. There's absolutely no plans. I'm happy with what I got. You know, I'm never going to be a millionaire, but I've no interest in being a millionaire. You know, I just want to, I just want a comfortable as life, as quiet a life as I possibly can when that's possible. And do what I do. What I do
don't
now,
send me your menu, mate.
Yeah, so I mean, what we do now, Dieter, you know, is enough to keep 13 staff going. It works for us. It works for us. So I'm not a lover of change. This works, and it's this keeps us busy. So for the foreseeable, it's going to stay as it is.
Good on you.
I know Dieter's super busy, and he's up at 7 o'clock. Starts at 7 o'clock in the morning till quite late. He has a changeover at 5, and sometimes he can't even get away.
No, still pay.
Yeah, I know exactly. I know exactly how you feel, Dieter, because they're exactly my hours. So I start at 7 on the food truck, and then jump on the bar at 12, and the night staff come on at 5. And I'll regularly get people saying. So I do call in at the weekends at night to show me face because people, some, you know, they want to see the landlord. But I'll get people saying to me, "Blimey, I've come in at 7 o'clock last night and you were gone." I'm like, "Yeah, but I've done 11 hours by then. Like, I can't. Yeah. I have a family. I have a family to see. I have a house to run. You know,
we're gonna have a lot of stories, mate. I think you and I.
Yeah, get the Wrexham on ice.
It won't be 2 years, mate. It could be more.
Yeah. I just want to ask you one question because it is a wellness show. What is your must-go-to wellness?
Oh, wow. As in health wellness, you mean?
Any type of wellness, whatever makes you tick.
Yeah, do you know what? I had a gentleman reach out from America when the show first took off. I've become really good friends with him. Lovely, lovely guy. Lives in Naples, Florida. Scott McCormish, his name is. He runs a web designing company, and he reached out and said, "I don't want anything from you. This might come across as bizarre, but I just want to build your website because the one you've got's awful, basically." And he was correct; it was awful. And the advice I've taken off him—he's such a wise guy. He's a guy in his—if he sees this and I say 60s and I'm wrong, he's going to kill me. But he must be in his 60s, and he's given me just little bits of advice. When this was very unprecedented to us, so the football club grew at such a pace and level that they weren't expecting. We're just a little bar next door, and we got hit with that as well. And I remember a year or two in, I was like not sleeping. I was stressed out. You know, I looked really gaunt. I looked really tired because it was just unprecedented. And he would regularly phone me and just sort of say, "You need sign up for the gym, take an hour to yourself. You know, you need to just step away for an hour. You need to do this. You need to take on more staff." So my one bit of advice would be delegate, because I was a control freak and I'm learning to delegate. Always delegate. And I've got a really, really exceptional team around me. I get all the credit for things, which is cruel, but internally on our staff chat and when we speak to the staff individually, I always give them the credit because they're the ones that do the bulk of the work. You know, they're the ones that carry the can. They're the ones that don't get the credit. I mean, they get a lot of credit off customers because they're fantastic. You know, you go on TripAdvisor, it's all about the staff. And I love that because they're the main core. You know, we just get the credit because we're the head of it, I guess. But he always said to me, take an hour a day. You need to take an hour a day to collect your thoughts. And secondly, the best advice I would always give anybody is, no matter what goes on in your life, work-wise, it doesn't matter. Your family are what matters. That's what's at home. That's really what, you know, work is work, money is money. You can always find more work, you can always find more money. You only, in my case, I will only ever have one. You only get one wife and you only have your kids. So put your family first, prioritize your family, and everything else should fall into place.
Well, that's wonderful. I've just quickly asked you, if there was one thing you could do to change the world, what would it be?
To change the world?
Yes.
Blimey, no pressure. I don't want to sound like a pageant lady now that comes up with a terrible answer. I don't know. I mean, I mean, that's a very, very difficult question to ask. There's lots of things I'd like to change, but we'd be here forever. I just think it starts with one person. If one person is nice to the next person, then it's a chain effect. So, listen, stay humble, stay grounded, stay nice to each other. And who knows, maybe one day the people that have got the real power will wake up and stop realizing that blowing each other up doesn't work, and, you know, being hateful to each other doesn't work. Take it one day at a time, and just stay nice, stay true to yourself, and stay polite and courteous. The world seems to be running out of patience. People don't have any patience anymore. They just seem to be in a race to hate each other. And I don't like it. I just think you should be nice to each other.
So we come in, mate.
Say
We
again.
can change it. That's where we come in, mate. We change it.
Yes.
Hey?
Yes. We'll get Rob and Ryan down to the bar, and
Yep.
we'll get Keir Starmer and Donald Trump and all these crazy people in the world to sort of realize this is how you should live your life. Just relax a bit, you know. It's
Just have a beer, just have a Wrexham lager, have a
and chill
sit
out.
down and chill. That's not rocket
Absolutely.
science, is it?
No, well, no, you would think. Listen, these guys have got a lot more on their plate than I'll ever have, but I just think some of the decisions they make, they drive me batty.
Yeah. I hear you, brother.
Well, it's been an absolutely wonderful, inspirational conversation. Is there anything you'd like to share with the listeners just before we wrap up,
Yeah, I
either of
mean,
you?
first of all, two things. Well, a couple of things, really. One, I mean, genuinely, thank you for having me. I'm really, really excited to come over. Like I say, I spent 2 years there 2 years ago. Got a real soft spot for Australians. They took me in when I didn't have a penny to my name, as we say over here. Fed me, watered me, sheltered me, and got me back to Wales in one piece. So, really excited to come back because, like I say, I've got a real fondness for Australia. I was worried they weren't going to let me get a visa because I overstayed my visa by 4 weeks last time and they kicked me out. They're like, get out your pom, you've been here too
No.
long. So, but they've accepted me back. So no, just thank you for having me on. Personally to Dieter, thank you for the gift that I got off Mike. I wear it with pride and it's very much welcome. So I'll make sure that I bring some of that over for you, my friend. I'm looking forward to meeting you, coming to your bar.
Yeah.
I will do everything in my power to, not that you need it, but we'll drag every Wrexham fan we can in Australia over them couple of days to come and get drunk at York Lane. So looking forward to that. And just to the people of Australia, thank you for the support for the show, and supporting Wrexham. I know because of the time difference, it's not always easy to watch the games. I can touch on that firsthand because I was watching the games at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was there living. So just thank you for the support. Really excited to see everybody. If you haven't got tickets, then I know they're not the cheapest sometimes, but try and get them. Try and come down, say
We've
hello.
bought them already.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Yeah,
come and have
bought
a
them
Wrexham
already,
lager at
mate.
York Lane. Come and have a Wrexham
Yeah.
lager at the stadium. And then let's sing, let's dance, and let's do it. Let's go watch some good footy. And let's just smile for the day. Let's just enjoy ourselves
Don't
yeah,
worry, mate.
we'll ask
I'll be
ourselves.
smiling for longer than a day, mate. I can tell you that now.
And if
Don't
anybody's got
ease.
any advice on if anybody's got any advice on how I can click my
Eating
fingers and get over
Vegemite?
and no, absolutely not.
No.
No, Tim Tams, absolutely. Vegemite, no, that's not happening.
All
And
right,
if
we'll
anybody's got
change
any
that.
advice, if anybody's got any advice, please DM me on Instagram on how I can get over the 26-hour flight that I'm terrified about. I'd much appreciate it. But other than that, I'm really looking forward to coming and seeing you all.
I make good coffee, mate.
Oh, we'll get on like house on fire.
Trust
They
me.
survive on five a day.
Yep. I'll give you a Schlong Black or one of my famous espresso tonics, mate. You'll be flying.
Oh, crikey. Can I
All
come a week
right.
early just to get settled?
Yeah, maybe just text me.
I fly out on Tuesday the 8th with my sister. My wife, just very quickly, my wife is my son graduates in Manchester University on July 24th. So my wife has decided not to come because we won't get back until the middle of the
Oh,
22nd.
really?
She's terrified that
Wow.
she misses his graduation. She would never forgive herself,
Yeah.
so which I'm sure she won't. But I'm bringing my elder sister Kelly, who's a staunch Wrexham supporter, who's really excited to come. Never been to Australia, so
Yep.
we'll bring her in to say hello. So yeah,
Yeah.
we're just looking forward to it.
And
Arms open, mate. Arms open.
do you have an idea which day you'll come in, or you want to keep that hush hush for now?
To the Yorklet to Dieter's
To
bar.
doubt it, yeah.
Yeah, so we fly in on Tuesday the 8th. We get there on
Yeah.
Wednesday the 9th.
Oh, okay.
We get there about tea time. And then I'm there for 5 nights. So we've decided to take a day off Wellington and have an extra day in Sydney. So I can't make any promises I'll be in on the Wednesday because I want to see how the jet lag is. But
Yeah. Yeah.
the plan is to maybe come in. Do you open Thursdays, Dieter? What time do you open on a Thursday?
Mate, you just tell me and I'll be open, all right?
Oh,
Because you are
bless you.
you going to Melbourne beforehand?
Yeah, so we're going to the plan is yeah, so we're in Melbourne. Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. Yeah, we're in Melbourne on Wednesday the 8th. So we're in Melbourne
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we've got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Sydney.
Yeah.
So obviously, I see that you're closed. Are you closed Monday, Tuesdays? Is that right? So.
No, I'm open.
Oh, fantastic. So I'm actually over there with I'm actually over there or meeting up over there with several Wrexham fans that are Wrexham fans like me, Wrexham born and bred, staunch Wrexham fans, never miss a game. one of the guys actually ran the club for 15 years. So I'll bring all these guys along. They're lovely, lovely, proper Wrexham people. So we're there for 5 nights. And I'm a little bit busy on the Thursday I tell a lie. We fly in on the Sunday, Dieter, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Don't worry. Just let me know.
We'll see you tea time. We'll be there for 4 or 5 o'clock on the Sunday, I would have thought.
Yeah. No, that's
you'll be kicking us out on the Friday.
And Mike Roberts said that you've got a good friend up in Cairns that went to school with you.
Yeah, a guy called Ricky Shacks, who, a staunch Wrexham fan, moved to Cairns. I think he moved over there not long after I was over there 20 years ago, and he stayed there. He loves the place. His mother has just flown in from Wrexham to go to Ayers Rock with him. So I'm not sure whether she'll still be there when the tour's going on, but Ricky's flying down from Cairns to Sydney, so I'll bring Ricky in. Real character, just brace yourself. Great, great guy.
It's all right, mate. Bring it on.
Wrexham character, as we say. You'll love Ricky. So Ricky's flying over to meet up with us. So we'll certainly bring him in as well.
Just get the boys to bring the cameras in, because we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, no, seriously. I will. Yeah, that's the right. I don't believe the full Welcome to Wrexham crew is going, but I know there'll be a presence. So yeah, of course I'll speak to people, and I'm sure the cameras will definitely venture in. We'll make that happen.
Well, I just want to give the boys a good show. Hey,
you can be on the camera, not me.
No, that's all right. I'm all right.
Well, thank you so much, Wayne, for giving up your precious time. Yeah. And we look forward to seeing you down under very shortly.
My absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. And I will see you in about 3 weeks.
Yep. Great, mate. Nice to talk.
Lovely to meet you, Dieter. Take care,
buddy. Pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
See you.
See ya. Bye, Beverly. Take care.